How about the individual who has no desires? His only desire was God, but time was short. He didn't have enough time. So what happens to that individual? So Bhagavan tells us in verse number 42. Atva yogi nam eva kule bhavati dhimatam etaddi durlabhataram loke janma yadidrisham. Athva means or, if there's a second type of individual who has desireless, so what happens? Yogi nam, in the house of yogi. Kule means in the family of yogis. Yogis are people who are highly evolved individuals. They are into meditation, they are into prayer, sadhana, and they may not be very wealthy. You know, they may just be middle class or even lower middle class. They are just managing. But their whole focus is spirituality. So this person comes in the home of yogis who are dhimatam, who are very wise. So very wise and spiritually evolved parents. And etaddi durlabhataram, such a birth in this world, loke janma, durlabhataram, it's very hard, very rare to find homes like that where the parents are so evolved and the children are, you know, from the beginning studying. Yadidrisham, this kind of world is rare indeed. Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, this kind of home, this kind of family is rare, but this individual finds it. Now, in this this person does not has no interest in heaven. He does not want to spend even one day in heaven. Forget about 1,000 years or 5,000 years. He says, I don't have time. I want to move. Last life, I was almost there, but time was little short. If I had another 2-3 years, I would have enlightened. So he says, I don't want to waste my time. I don't want heaven and apsara and rambha and dance and drink and Give me another body. So he tells quickly, he's looking. So then he goes to a zone called Bardo in Buddhism, they call, where he is waiting, he or she, you know, is again, the soul has no sex. Mm-hmm. It is just the mind and intellect. But this individual is waiting, and soon as a suitable womb becomes available, this individual enters because he is in a hurry. He wants to finish his journey. The point that we have to understand is that whatever environment I am in, I chose it. We choose our environment. It's not God who gives it to us. It's not our parents. It's not society. It's not my spouse. It's not my neighbor. I chose. For example, we were all born in India, right? And then what brought us all the way here? You know, we came here. Most of us came with very little money. And we worked hard and we did all our schooling here and internship. So we chose the environment. And if you are born in somebody is born with a cancer from childhood, yes, I know it's not. Unfortunately, that child chose it. And what chooses it? Our karmas and our vasanas. If you have those particular karmas and particular vasanas, then that determines the kind of home you will be born in. If you have been a criminal and if you have done a lot of, you know, criminal activities and, you know, you still have desire, then you'll be born in a house where your criminal activities will continue. So we choose our environment. And as we said, this kind of home where sadhana, meditation is done from childhood, everybody is sitting together and studying, that is very rare. And examples of such homes are like Gyaneshwar Maharaj. You know, Gyaneshwar Maharaj, you all know, all his brothers and sisters were highly evolved individuals because their parents were highly evolved. You know, Tapovan Maharaj, from childhood, he had no interest in anything else. He didn't even have a guru. He directly went towards enlightenment. Raman Maharishi, Jesus, Buddha, these are people who had no interest in the world directly. Also, what it shows is that my previous birth determines my present life. So, example is Bobby Fischer. He was not a spiritual, but he was a chess grandmaster. And by age 13, he was already U.S. champion. He was a champion of the whole U.S. at age 13, even though he was playing with adults. Normally, they don't allow children, but he was so good. By 15, he was a grandmaster. And by 22, he was world champion. So how did he get this? His parents just gave him a chess board and he picked it up like that because he had in his previous birth. And it says that yogis give birth. There is a story of Vedvyasji, which I will talk about. How did Vedvyasji? One is that this individual is so highly evolved that he wants to continue his spiritual journey. That is one way he's born in the house of yogis, where his journey is a little bit short. So one is that this person wants to continue his journey. Other reason children are born in the house of yogis or even the Lord himself wants to appear. So when he appeared as Sri Krishna or Sri Rama or Vedvyasji, when the Lord wants to appear, then he chooses great yogis or great spiritual masters to be his parents. And Vedvyasji is a very interesting story. Some of you may know it, but when he said to be an avatar of Lord Vishnu himself, Vedvyasji, when he had to appear, he had to choose a very evolved home or a very evolved parents. And it is said there was a rishi called Parashar Rishi, and that's why he's called Parasharya, that is one of his names. And Parashar Rishi was old. He was an old, and he had been a sadhu for 30-40 years. He had not even seen a woman. He had absolutely no interest at all in this. And he was very evolved sage. He was an enlightened master. And it is said that he was one time going in a boat, crossing the river, and the boat lady was a woman, was a young woman who was driving the boat, who was rowing the boat. And there were only two of them in the boat at that time. And for some reason, a dense cloud came in front of the sun, and that whole area became dark. And suddenly a desire came in Parashar. He said, why would I get this desire? He says, yeah, the Lord wants to appear. So he mated with that girl. And then he got off the boat and he left. Not, oh, this is my wife, my child, nothing. He said, I was selected for this purpose. He knew that. He said, after 40 years, how did this desire arise? And he left. And then he went. And then that lady, then Vedvyasji was born to her. And Vedvyasji was interesting. Not only he was a great spiritual master, which he got from his father, all the spiritual wisdom, but from his mother, he got an amazing sense of adventure and bravery. Because imagine a single girl who is rowing the boat back and forth, taking people home, how strong she should be physically and mentally. So he got that spirit of daring, adventure. And so in Hinduism, a lot of new ideas were brought by Vedvyasji. He moved the Hindu thinking into a very forward direction. So that is what they are saying, that when the Lord has to appear, he chooses such home. So this is a very beautiful story, how Vedvyasji appeared. There's another group of individuals called Karaga Purusha. Karaga Purusha means one who accomplishes a lot. Now, these are individuals who are not living in heaven, have finished all their activities, whatever desires, vasanas, they are all finished. They are very close to enlightenment, or they are almost enlightened, but they live in Brahma Loka, which is the highest world, from where they might live for millions and billions of years. And when the pralay happens, when the whole universe ends, then Brahma Loka also ends and they will merge into the highest. So these people have no desires, they have no nothing left to accomplish. They have accomplished everything. They are only waiting for pralaya. And it's not that they are suffering in Brahmaloka. It's just they are also associating with other saints like them, great masters. And it is said Brahmaji himself, the creator himself, teaches them. And they have satsang and all. So now such individuals, they are called Karaga Purushas, where what Swami Tejomayananji Guruji makes it very humorous. God will come and say, "Are, you have been sitting here for thousands of years. You're not doing anything. Go to earth. I want you to do my work." So these people are sent to do God's work. Like Puja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, how much he accomplished in his life. Hundreds of centers were built all over the world. Swami Vivekananda, how many Ramakrishna missions in his 39 years, how much he accomplished. Shankaracharya ji, he lived for only 32 years and he re-established Hinduism. So these are called Karaga Purushas, who are sent here by God to do his work. And so if we find an individual who has accomplished a lot in his or her lifetime, then we should understand that these were and masters who were already enlightened. They did not need to learn or go anywhere. They came for us to do work and help us to grow, to continue and to teach us. So, and that is the purpose. So what Bhagwan is telling us, that life is a perfect continuity. What I was yesterday, that determines what happens to me today. What I did yesterday will determine my today, and what I do today will determine my future. So I am the architect of my own destiny. So they say that we are the architects and Bhagwan is just a contractor. He says, you make your destiny. You plan, just as an architect plans the house. And what does the contractor does? As per the specifications, he builds the house. He doesn't say, why is the wall here and why is the kitchen here and why? No, he says, okay, sir, whatever you have planned, I'll build the house. So similarly, God says, sir, you have planned your life, I'll build it. I am just a humble contractor. You decide what kind of life you want. You have the choice. You want your kitchen here, you do it here. You want your happiness, you do this. You want unhappiness. So we choose our life. He is just a contractor. So that is the essence of this particular verse, that this individual, having no desires, but not having enough time to finish his journey, is born in the house of yogis, where this kind of birth is very difficult, because from childhood itself, he gets a very spiritual atmosphere. So he says, now what happens to this individual who is born in the house of yogis? So Bhagwan gives us one more, actually two more verses. What happens to this highly evolved? Because Bhagwan is in love with this individual. He's such a evolved soul, where he's born in the house of yogis and his only goal is enlightenment. So he loves him. And many places in the Gita, he says, Yo mad bhakta same priyaha, in the 12th chapter. He says, such a devotee is extremely dear to me.